This, of course, has been a somewhat challenging week for many of you. You're accustomed to it. You've gone through it over the years. On this past Thursday, on the 30th, my dad's birthday was March the 30th, 1930, 3:30:30. Had the easiest birthday in the world to remember. And when we woke up that morning, Candy leaned over to me and said, "Your dad's having the best birthday ever." By 5 o'clock that evening, Norma Honecker had made her flight to heaven. And I got to thinking about all those that's gathered together. But in a few days, we're going to have a big celebration across this world. Well, we'll celebrate the fact and rejoice in the hope that life doesn't just cease to be. But when we bury our loved ones, there's coming a time that the same Jesus that rose from the dead will cause them that sleep in Him to rise also. What a time we're going to have. Amen. I've been preaching a series of sermons with Brian, and I'm staying on track with it this morning. And I know it sounds somewhat strange, but we've been doing a series on what we believe, or why we believe. And today I'm dealing with a subject on what we believe about faith. That's a strange subject, isn't it? I mean, when you say you believe something about belief, because the world's confused about faith. But yet it needs to be dealt with, because really you'll find from the passage that we look at, there's no other way to please God. If you'll ever be saved, it's God's way of you being saved. You're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That which is not of faith, the Bible teaches, is sin. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God has chosen the wonderful outstretched arm of grace on His part to unite together with our outstretched arm of faith in order for Him to rescue us from the pit of sin and from the hopelessness we have of a life that we live in sin. But all of that is great unless someone is perplexed by the question as to what faith is. Now I'm going to deal a little bit with faith. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And I encourage you to read this passage through the day sometime today, because the entire chapter deals with faith. But it also shows us how important faith is to God. Not only is it important to us, but it's important to God. Hebrews 11, let's look, if you will, at verse 5. Verses 5 and 6. Keep your Bibles open, because there's a few words I'll call your attention to in verse 6, especially today. But Hebrews 11 and verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is" what? "Impossible to please him." Who's him? God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder." Oh, let me stop right there. I'm going to underline something. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes He's talking to me faster than I can preach it. "That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Our problem today is that we live, and I'm not preaching negatively on this, I'm just saying that it can contrast with faith greatly. We live in an era of time that the world's always going in cycles, and we're back in a cycle now where during the time that the Bible was written, there was a group that were called the Gnostics, Gnosticism, which is based entirely on knowledge and education. And all spiritual success hinged on knowledge. That's what they taught. And today, we're back in the same cycle where you know and I know as well the importance of education in our society. If you're a young person headed out in the world, times have changed since I was your age getting out of high school. It's changed a lot in just a few short years. In fact, when I graduated from high school, there were still a lot of jobs in factories that you could plan on working there and possibly retiring from there. No one could see the future far enough that while they pressed education, education was not placed with such importance that probably in order to even obtain a job, you would later need not only a high school education, but probably college education, or else you'd have to go somewhere for specialized education, whether it's in a training field or through the military. You're still going to have to be trained in some field and receive some type of education to possibly even get a job. Now, I know that doesn't get a lot of shouting because we all like to think we're going to step out of high school and step into a $500,000 a year job, and that just doesn't happen. You'll get educated even if you don't go to college. You'll get educated. You own your own business, and the first thing you'll be educated on is faith. You'll learn faith the hard way. But with that, see, society somehow tends to equate all of that with the very nature of God. And they try to bring that then into the church and into preaching and into teaching. And it sounds good that, you know, with more knowledge, the more knowledge you gain, the more understanding you gain. And therefore, with more knowledge and more understanding, the easier it will be for you to embrace God, or the more you'll embrace God. That sounds good, doesn't it? The more you know, the closer you'll be to God. Totally incorrect. See, I'm going to get a lot of blank stares, I know, but I want to tell you something. God never sets out to ever explain Himself. God's goal is never to explain Himself to me, to you, or to anyone else. He doesn't have to explain Himself. He's God. And God said, even if I wanted to explain myself, I couldn't explain myself because your mind will never have the ability, regardless of how much capacity you have and intellect you have, you'll never have the ability to understand me. Because as high as the heavens are, that's how much higher my ways are than your ways, and my thoughts are than your thoughts. You can't understand God. Nobody here today can tell me you understand God. It's impossible. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, them that serve Him. There's no way that anyone here can fully understand God. So God doesn't set out to ever try to explain Himself. He doesn't have to explain Himself. He is God. He was God before the Bible was ever written. He'll be God after this earth will be gone and all the sermons will cease to be. And I'm not saying we shouldn't study the Word and love the Word, but all of those things, that's just God's way of us exercising our faith. If you read it and you don't believe it, you'll have no better understanding than just reading it. It takes faith in what you are reading to say, not only did God say it, but I believe what God said. God never sets out to explain Himself. So God says there's a reason why that He has chosen faith. One reason is faith is fair. Every person here has a measure of faith. All of us have some faith. Everyone here has faith. Now I know it's time change Sunday, but you can still say amen. We all have faith. You say, I don't have faith, preacher. Yes, you do. You demonstrate faith every day of your life. You don't even realize it because you don't know what faith is. For example, you go to the bank and you deposit your money in a checking account. You go somewhere else and you write a check on that money in that account. How do you know there's not a thief in the bank that stole your money? Now, don't tell me it doesn't happen. I read the papers too. There's thieves everywhere. What makes you think that your money's going to be there? Well, you say, well, preacher, it's already deposited in the account. And when I write the check, that's the same as legal tender in respect that they're going to honor that for that amount of money. You do it without even thinking. That's faith. You go across the bridge from Kentucky to West Virginia or from Ohio to Kentucky or Ohio to West Virginia. You drive across the bridge. You don't have a clue who built that bridge. You don't know who inspected that bridge the last time. You don't know if they used good materials in that bridge, if it's sturdy, not sturdy, if it's past inspection or not. But you just drive right across it and you don't even think about it. You go to a doctor, and all they need is DR in front of their name. You don't know where they went to medical school. You don't know if they passed with honors or not. You go in, they look at you for less than 5 minutes, take a little pad. How anyone can go to school 12 years and write this bad is beyond me. They'll scribble stuff down that you can't read. You'll run down to a pharmacy. You'll hand that to a pharmacist that you may or may not know, that has all kinds of people working in there that get medication from factories that you don't even know where the pill factory is at, and they'll count them out. You'll go home, take those with a glass of water, and never think about it. Don't tell me you don't have any faith. God has given all of us faith. Why has God given us faith? Because God never sets out to explain Himself. God's goal in life is to reveal Himself. God cannot be explained to you. God can only be revealed to you. That's why through faith, Enoch saw God. He was not, for God took him. Where was he? He was with the Lord. The old timers used to preach that Enoch used to take a walk every day. And one day, as he was walking with God, God said, "Why don't you come home and spend the day with me in heaven?" And Enoch's never been back because there's no night in that city. Might not be good theology, but it's a good principle of faith. He was not, for God took him. Why? Because he had faith in God, and his faith pleased God. And by the way, folks, if you ever make it to heaven, you'll have to have faith in God. There's no other way to please the Lord except by and through faith. Faith is fair because if God based it merely on intellect, what would happen to a person with a lesser IQ? That would say that they don't have the ability to have God embrace them to the extent of someone with a higher IQ. That wouldn't be fair. Somebody could find themselves in hell one day and say, "Lord, I'm here because I did not understand." So God says, "I don't use that principle. I use the principle of faith. I don't want to try to explain myself to you. I want to reveal myself to you. And the only way you can have the scales knocked off your eyes and have understanding, it is not based on the amount of intellect you have. It's the simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that'll say, 'Lord, I believe you for who you are and what you say. I put my faith in you.'" And faith pleases God. Isn't that great? David here has a Juris Doctorate, I assume. J.D., is that correct or not? He has a Juris Doctorate. Riley here has nothing but a preacher and a bunch of people that love her. But you know the amazing thing? When she reaches a certain age, it will take the same faith for her to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I believe that Jesus died on a cross. And I'm so sorry that I have sinned and come into my heart because Jesus rose from the dead." The Bible says that. And the Bible says that He will intercede for me. He'll come in my behalf and say, "Father, for my sake." Think about that. Jesus says, "Father, for my sake, forgive them." Do you know it will take the same faith for a little child to do that as if someone with a Juris Doctorate has to do it? Well, I'm preaching a lot better than you're listening today.
faith. Now, if you're not accustomed to our services, every now and then, you may be in a service and out of nowhere, somebody, they're singing a song, or the preacher's preaching, and out of nowhere, you just come in visiting, you sit down beside of someone, you don't know who they are, and you're just sitting there, you're minding your own business, and out of nowhere, they just jump up and, woo! And you're looking around saying, what's wrong with that person? While that song is being sung or that message is being preached, what happened is faith just kicked in. God revealed something to that person that they needed at that point in their life. And even though it's been truth all along, faith suddenly kicks in and says, this is the way it is. And faith gives them that ability to say, listen, Lord, you are in control. You're going to take care of this thing. It's all going to be all right. I can depend on you. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fret about it. Because faith says that I just have to please you. And I please you by believing you. That means that faith is fair. You can go to heaven, and grandma can go to heaven. Isn't that fair? Isn't that great? Hey, Cameron, what grade of school are you in? When did you get saved? When he was 9. Cindy has a doctorate. She's an optometrist. When were you saved, Cindy? You remember your age? Pardon? 10? She's got a doctorate. You still live by faith, don't you? It takes as much faith in her life as it does in his life. Do you know what that means? That means whether you can read and write. Whether you've been to college or not been to college. Whether you can quote verses of Scripture or not quote verses of Scripture. God will still reveal Himself to us. Suddenly one day you're driving down the road and faith locks in on something. And you can say, Lord, that's what you're trying to show me. I've been battling with this thing all along. And I've been trying to do all these things. But it's not pleasing to you. Because the thing that pleases you is for you to reveal yourself unto me. Someone said, have you ever seen God? Not with my natural eyes, but I've seen Him with the eye of faith. I've seen where He's been and I've seen where He's leading. And there's times it's been so dark that I didn't know where I was going. But suddenly, just the right time, the Word of God, or a song, or a sermon, something that God sent into my life, it rolled the clouds away. And I could look and see the sunlight of God's glory and say, Lord, you revealed yourself to me. That's what salvation is. God revealing Himself to you. But the problem is there's so much false teaching on faith. Faith is not forcing yourself. Now boy, this borders a fine line, but I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. Now I believe in positive thinking. But the power of positive thinking is not faith. The difference between the power of positive thinking and faith is this. The power of positive thinking is really your mind talking you into something. Faith says, I don't have to talk myself into anything. That's the way it is. It's just the facts. That's the way it is. Faith is not forcing you. I hear so much of this today, it absolutely makes me sick. There's people that they're trying to talk themselves into stuff all the time. They're trying to force themselves. You know what I'm talking about. You walk up to them and they've got a runny nose and they're coughing. They cough all over their hands and they reach out to shake your hand and say, man, you got a cold. I ain't got a cold. Yeah, you got a cold. Power of positive thinking says you don't have a cold, but faith says, I got to get healed of a cold. I travel a lot. Boy, I'm getting a lot of blank stares. I remember getting out of the car. Ron was with me. I'm so glad he's here this morning. He can testify to it.
We were at a meeting one time, and I got out of the meeting. It had been a year since we'd been there, and Ron was along. He was doing some filming for us, and when we got out of the vehicle, there was a lady that got out, and her husband got out beside of the vehicle, and when we got out of the vehicles, I said, "How you doing?" She said, "Not doing well at all." She said, "It's been a tough year, preacher. It's been awful. It's just been horrible." She said, "It's been terrible." Kept going on and on. Boy, I tell you, I was heartbroken. I said, "What's been going on?" And she said, "Well," she said, "my..." Now, I'm going to make some of you mad right here, but you got to love me if you're going to heaven. She looked at me and she said, "Well," she said, "my husband's had 3 surgeries. Said he's got the C word." The C word. So we went talking. I didn't get it. So she went over it. That's the truth, isn't it, Ron? She went over it 3 or 4 times. "He's got the C word. He's got the C word." And suddenly, it dawned on me what she was talking about. Cancer. And I said, "Oh, he's got cancer." "Oh, you killed him." This is a fact. "You killed him. You spoke it into being. If it wasn't in being, why did you have 3 surgeries?" I said, "How are you ever going to get healed of it until you tell God, 'Lord, you know I've got cancer in my body.'" Faith is not the power of positive thinking. I don't have to sit there and go, "Oh, get away, C word." And if I have to cross my legs and do that 1.5 hours, I'm in trouble. That's silliness. I tell you what I can do. I can come to a God that says He has the power to heal of all things and say, "Lord, I know, well, bless God, I know you can take this cancer out of my body in Jesus' name. I believe you for healing." And you know, suddenly somewhere in the middle of a service when nobody else knows, you'll have to jump up on your feet and say, "Whoop, it's gone. God's taken care of it," because God reveals Himself. You don't have to force yourself to be saved. Faith is not fasting. Fasting is good. Fasting is appropriate. But fasting is more for you to prove you're serious with God, because God already knows we're serious or not. It is more for discipline of ourselves than it is faith. Some of you have physical ailments that you could not fast. That means that you could not grow in faith, and that wouldn't be fair. Faith is not feelings. Aren't you glad of that? Because some of you are feeling bad today. 1 hour's messed you up. You couldn't make it on Time Change Week with me. Sometimes on Time Change Week, for some reason, I always decide sometimes of the week to fly out into different time zones. So I set it forward to set it back, to set it forward to set it back. Last year, I changed time 6 times in Time Change Week. I didn't know where to go to bed to cook breakfast. But you know, it's not how you feel that makes your faith go into action. I love feeling. I mean, I love to feel good. I love to worship God. I love to praise God. But faith is not any of those things. Faith is not philanthropy. It's not giving. See, a lot of wealthy people will give and hope that that will bring faith into their life. But that's not true. You give because you have faith in God. Faith won't cause, giving won't cause you to get more faith. Faith is not forgiveness. I mean, it's great when you wrong somebody and you go to somebody and you say, "Listen, I wronged you. I want you to forgive me. I want you, I mean this. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I've done that." I think that's wonderful that you do that. But that's not faith. That's common sense. Because if you wrong somebody, you need to make it right. "Well, preacher, How do I know that I'm operating by faith? Well, it tells us. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. I am so happy he stopped right there. Can I ask you a question? He is what? It just says he is. Do you know why it says he is? Because if he would have named any one particular thing, that might have left you out in your needs. So he just left it as he is, as to say, it's a blank check. You just fill in whatever you need. If you need forgiveness of sin, he is a Savior. If you need healing in your body, he is a doctor. If you need money in your life, he is a banker. He is whatever you need him to be. He is. He puts no limits on it. Faith says, I'm not bowing to God to just one area. That's all there is to it. He is anything that he wants to be. He is anything that you need him to be. If you're here today and you say, well, my life is so torn up and I need to not only find forgiveness of sin, but I need power to overcome addictions in my life, and I can't seem to overcome this particular idea that I have. He is anything you need him to be to make sure that you can live and operate by faith. He is. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that God is a rewarder. Now that's what I underlined up there. The Lord just spoke to my heart a minute ago. This is what he said. He didn't say that he would give you a paycheck. He said he would give you a reward. Does anyone know the difference between a reward and a paycheck? Can I tell you the difference? With a reward, before a reward could ever be posted, the money is set aside. Are you listening to what I'm preaching today? The money is already set aside. Right now, we have a reward out for Osama bin Laden. Now, before that they ever put that reward out, that money was set aside. That money's already there before anyone ever comes to claim it. It's already there. You're paying to rack up the money. It's following your work. But with that, everything is already set aside. So when you come and claim that reward, it's all already there. It will be paid. Some of you have had some jobs where they told you they would pay you. But the money wasn't set aside. And they'll say, can I get back to you next week on that? Come on, you mean everybody's paid you everything they owe you in life? No. But he is a rewarder. He's already got everything that he promised set aside. That means when I go there, it's already put there. He is walking in front of us, going before us. Everything that we need, it's already there. And here's the best part. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Kevin, to get the money for Osama, I got to find him. They got to find him. Would you read that real close? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He gives it to us for just looking for him. Oh, glory. Are you awake this morning? He says, diligently seek him. In other words, I know you'll find him. When you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. But he said, I'll pay you while you're looking for me. Amen. That means there's things in life that I don't have the answer to. But before I ever get there, God will pay me for that. Before I ever get the benefits of it and see what he was doing, God said, just keep seeking me. Just keep seeking me. Every morning when you get up, keep looking for me. When you're looking for me, he said, I'll reward you just for looking. That's why I used to wrestle with people that would come to the altar And they'd come forward. They'd get on the altar. And they would pray and pray and pray and pray. And they'd say, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. See, that's the problem with some of you. You're afraid if you come up here that it won't happen the way you think it's going to happen, and then you'll be embarrassed. And I literally, in my ministry, of course, some of you have been in church for years, you know that I'm telling you, it wasn't uncommon to stay at church till midnight from somebody that had maybe been taught incorrectly, and they battled with that, and there's one or two things that they couldn't get over. And you know what I found the biggest problem is? When you seek Him, He'll give it to you. I don't think you heard that. He will save you just for looking for Him. Do you find Him? Sure you find Him. But the truth of the matter is, He'll honor you just for seeking Him. The reason that we are seeing a decline in fruit faith in America today is because most Americans feel like they don't need anything. And they wait on some big crisis to come in their life, and when they lose their job or they get sick in body or they go through death or they're faced with a situation they cannot overcome, then they turn to the Lord and they seek Him. And because they don't have anyone to tell them, God's wanting to reveal Himself to you. When they start seeking and it doesn't happen the way they think it's going to happen, they think they can't be saved. They think they've gone too far. And really, the whole time, what you ought to do today is get your eyes off your circumstances and your situation and simply say this: I don't want to die lost without Jesus. And God said, well, hallelujah, if I come by faith and seek Him, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And the truth of the matter is, when you seek Him, He's not going to show Himself to you. And then you have faith. You don't see Him, then believe Him. You must believe Him to see Him. Faith. The evidence is right in front of you. Hope for it. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I never saw God. I didn't know what God would do until finally, one night at an altar of prayer, I saw Him. And there's been a whole lot of times since then I've had to seek God. But you know what? Every time I got serious and sought Him, He gave me the reward just for seeking Him. Because He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You have loved ones that need to be saved? Seek Him. Seek Him. You're lost and you need to be saved? Seek Him. Seek Him from all of your heart. He has a way of revealing Himself to you. So from this pulpit this morning, you get no explanation from God about Himself, because He can't explain Himself. But you can have revelation from God about Him. Faith gives you the revelation you need. Whether you're a child or whether you're an adult, you'll have to believe by faith to be saved. Well, preacher, I don't know where you get this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. What you've heard me preach to you today, the points are from the Bible, the Word of God. Faith says you can't be saved any other way or please God any other way than by coming to Him and believing that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Will you look for Him today?
Will you look to Him today? As long as people turn their hearts from me, faith cannot operate. But God says, just by seeking me, I'll give you what you need. When we ask you to come down the aisle and to come forward, we're giving you an opportunity to come and seek the Lord. We're going to do that right now. In fact, they're going to get ready in just a moment. They'll sing. Faith is available. And it's fair. And you know what the beauty of that is? There's not a person under my voice this morning that if you die lost, you'll be able to look to God and say, you weren't told. God wants you to be saved. And you can be saved. Let's stand together as we stand. We're going to sing. If you're here today and you need the Lord, what a great time for you to turn to Christ. Faith. Faith is fair. It's just. It's not all based on your understanding and your knowledge. You know, in this current system that we have, the current criminal system, it's hard to try a person that doesn't understand the charges leveled against them. The system looks at people like that with protective rights. Don't you think God's more just than even our justice system? And God says, I'm going to make a way that everybody, rich, poor, intellectual, unlearned, country person, city person, regardless of what race they're from, regardless of what their background may be, a way that they can be saved. Amen. By grace. Through faith. And like it or not, you'll never be saved till you seek Him. You're going to have to seek Him to get the reward. But if you seek Him, He'll give you what you're looking for.